There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seeks such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, it's another Tuesday night. Days are getting shorter. Sun's going down. The moon's already partially up in the sky here in the central part of the United States of America. The time, it's about 2 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock Central Daylight Savings Time. Today's date happens to be the 25th of August, 2015 AD, just in case you were wondering. Tonight we're going to do it again. It's going to be a very interesting show, to say the least. We're going to challenge you, frustrate you, make you mad, and possibly even have a little fun as well. We got some surprises for you this evening. But first, let's get down to the business of talking about Jesus. And, that's the way they say it on TV. They don't say Jesus. They say Jesus. And so it must be true because it's on late night television on satellite. Okay. Here we go. You call yourself a Christian. You identify with Christianity. That book, known as the Bible, is important to you, and you've logged your fair share of time reading it, studying it, devoting yourself to the Scripture. You've probably been a member somewhere and been part of a group that worships and some religious organization from time to time, or quite possibly the greater majority of your life on this planet. And there are those in your life, family, friends, people you work with, people you went to school with, neighbors. And sometimes someone will just meet you and you have a casual conversation while you're waiting in line at a store somewhere. And they say, "Are you a Christian?" And you say, "Yes." And they says, "I thought so. I could just tell." And it kind of makes you smile because it makes you feel like, well, honestly, time served. Money spent, hours, weeks, months, years, a bar, a standard that you hold yourself accountable to. Sounds reasonable, right? Unless you read Scripture, where it talks about results, success. And tonight, the magic word is testimony. Because there is a great confusion, misunderstanding, urban legend, bold-faced lie, manipulative, gruesome miscarriage of justice of words, semantics, however you want to tag it, when it comes to the word testimony. Because most people's idea of testimony is God is good. God is great. I believe in Scripture. I believe in the good book. I act accordingly. I love my fellow man. I turn the other cheek. I go to communion. I've been baptized. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I have faith. I have hope. I pray. That sounds like a wonderful testimony. Unless you're Christ. Unless you've really taken the Word of God right out of Scripture and haven't edited it, altered it, or made it fit your life. Then, that's not a testimony. A true Christian testimony is one that says, I saw grace, and this is what the hand of God was doing. I knew that this situation was wrong, and I called upon the power of the guise of Christ, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and grace to do something about this issue, this situation. And they did. And this is what was going on, and this is what grace did, and this is the end result. Because now, you've got a testimony. So here it comes. Do you have a testimony? Do you understand what a testimony is? And remember, on this radio show, we coin a phrase. Don't concern yourself with the answer. Concern yourself with the question. Because, Jim, one of the things that is really manipulated, contrived, and just twisted like a rubber band is the use, meaning, and representation of testimony.
Testimony for most people has, let me turn myself up a little bit. Testimony, you know, for most people has been in the arena of just saying something really nice about God. But we haven't seen really the testimony that we should be seeing, which are the tangible results that cause people to see that there's evidence, that there's truth.
Cause and effect.
It is. And, you know, there's a lot in the Bible about this tonight. So, I mean, I could probably be overdone with scriptures just giving you one after the other. But one I like comes out of the Message Bible, and I really like what it says here. Jesus dealt with a guy that was demon-possessed and casted out. And this is what the people said. He said, everyone there was incredulous, buzzing with curiosity. What's going on here? A new teaching that does what it says. That's the part I like so much. A new teaching that does what it says. They weren't used to that. Yeah. And here's the result, verse 32. That evening, after the sun was down, they brought sick and afflicted people to him. The whole city lined up at the door. Now see, that is what testimony does.
Well, that's grace in action.
It is.
I mean, to really put it in a nutshell, a testimony is the cause and effect, action reaction of grace. It's as simple and as easy as saying, I was standing next to a pool table, and the number 9 ball was hit by the cue ball, and then the number 9 ball hit the 8 ball, and then the 8 ball hit the 7 ball into the corner pocket.
Right.
Now that is a testimony.
Sure.
Because you have an occurrence of events. You have, for a reaction, there's a reaction. You have a start, middle, and end to some type of thing occurring. Well, saying God is good and God is great and that you're going to heaven and you love your family and you've been saved and you've been reborn and you've been baptized and you go to communion and you do this and you do that, that's not cause and effect.
Right.
That is not what's going on.
Right. That's participating with functions.
What is
organization?
Now think about this. If someone was to say, you have to start over. You have to pretend that you don't know anything about this. You have to start over fresh at ground zero and then take off from there and see how far you can advance. Now, we've all heard that. It might have been in school. It might have been in sports. It might have been at home. Maybe it's happened at your job. We all know what that means. It means that we've been doing something wrong. There's a right way to do it, and it will work. And unfortunately, you have to stop doing it one way, start over fresh at ground zero, and take off and expect certain turns of events and advancement. Well, what does reborn, rebirth mean? I mean, it doesn't mean I'm reborn, I'm a Christian. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that you're going to stay a baby Christian? That you're reborn, you're now a baby, and you're just going to dirty your diapers from now until hell freezes over? No. If you've been reborn and you've started fresh and you have been saved, then apparently what you're saying is you're ready for action.
Mm-hmm.
That you are ready to cause things to occur,
right,
and for events to start racking up a scorecard.
Yeah, that's really good. And
because
and
then you have testimonies.
You do. And it's happens so much on the show. You know, this show, folks, is obviously not scripted.
It's not?
No, we're not reading.
I like the look on your face.
No, it's not scripted, folks. And
no, rehearsed.
It happens so often that I'll actually pull up a verse, and then BJ will go on a 3 or 4 minute explanation of something using all the catchphrases that are in my verse. And then when you're done, I get to say, hey, I got a scripture about that. So, hey, I got a scripture about that. John chapter 3 and verse 1. Now, you know, before John chapter 3, we've got the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. And that was Jesus receiving the grace, the anointing, his mandate at that point to start his ministry. So now look at what takes place here. We're just in the third chapter now, and it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. What did the man just get through identifying? He identified that Jesus had testimony. And because of the testimony, he was able to have validation to the fact that God was involved doing these wonderful evidences, these wonderful works of grace. Now notice what Jesus said, and you'll see how appropriate what BJ said is to this scripture. Or I could turn around and say how appropriate this scripture is to what he said. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, he said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So look at the inference here. Jesus is doing what takes place when grace is on you, when the anointing, or when you're commissioned to go do the works of God. Somebody looks at him and says, well, that's God's works, and no one can do that unless God is with him. And then Jesus comes back and brings it right back to, well, this is what happens when you're born again. So, BJ, what you're saying is absolutely true. I mean, born again does not mean just sit around and let someone take care of you. It doesn't mean just go to a place called a church, sit there and listen, and try to be a good person. Born again is all about, now you got a brand new start. Let's go. Let's go ahead and enjoy this new direction. And this new direction is filled with wonderful experiences.
Right. We need to talk about text messages and emails.
Okay.
The way you text message the show, and we like text messages, we love emails. So start sending us some messages. The first word that you have to type on your cell phone for a text message is the word Ranger, the name of my dog, R-A-N-G-E-R. Ranger is the first word that you type in your text message. Mm-hmm. Then you type the rest of your message, and when you press the send button, there's no one, there's no area code, it isn't even a telephone number, it's just 99,000. So the first word you type is Ranger. When you press the send button, the number you put in is 2930s, 99000. The way you send an email to the show, to the barn here in Oklahoma, is the name of Jim's radio show, The Abiding Presence. It's all one word, no space, no capital letters, The Abiding Presence at G, the letter gmail.com. We've got our first text that says, hi, Jim, BJ and Ranger, listening in, Pasco Roman. Then we got another text that says, this is so accurate once again. So we got two texts.
Good, good.
We got a couple emails that we need to address. We got one that came in 4 days ago.
Okay.
It's a nice picture of a smaller dog laying on a rug like a puppy with some toys. It says, what if we get to heaven and God is actually a dog? Ha ha ha. It would be kind of funny. Anywho, just want to say thanks to both you guys and especially Ranger. The show is amazing. I've heard every episode, some multiple times, although there was periods I took the show for granted and stopped listening. I always seem to come back. And even though there were periods I made some mistakes in grace, I now know that not to do that. For others listening in, the last few years of my life, I went from a crummy job, he was pumping out septic tanks, to a job that has almost tripled my income with raises and bonuses along the way. Incredible work perks. I'm married, a house, an amazing dog. I'm pain-free from a previous racing injury, and I'm experiencing more of God's blessings every day.
Wow.
My wife also landed her dream job and is very excited to listen to you guys each night before bed. Thanks again, and this is Jamie and Jocelyn and Zena. Zena is the dog.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Yeah.
Good testimony there.
So he was a professional septic tank racer.
Right.
And he got hurt racing septic tank trucks. I'm taking that from his email. Because he says his previous job was I pumped septic tanks. And he said that he had a previous racing injury. You know they race anything anymore. I mean, can you just see two big, smelly, fly-infested honey wagons?
That's just terrible.
Headed around the track in a circular thing?
That can't be what he means.
Hey, I'm just reading. What are you laughing about? I'm just reading the email.
You put that together.
I can just see it now.
And the reason is because it took me a second to just realize, oh my gosh.
I can just see it now. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, this Saturday at the fairgrounds.
Oh,
we're going to be racing septic pumping tank trucks.
Okay, what's the funniest thing you've ever seen raced at the fairgrounds?
The funniest thing I've ever seen race?
Yeah.
Oh, hands down, without a doubt.
What?
There was these two ladies of oversized proportion.
Okay.
I mean, I'm talking some pretty big girls. I mean, like, big girls.
Okay.
And it was at the fair, and they kept looking at this little trailer and talking, and then they'd casually glance at the trailer, and then they would go back to talking. And I finally figured out they were waiting for that trailer to open, but I didn't see any sign as to what the trailer was. And all of a sudden, this guy comes around, and he unhooks the side of the trailer, and the side of the trailer hinges down, and in big red letters, it says, deep fried butter. Butter on a stick.
Oh,
I'd never heard of it. And before he could secure that door, now remember, I'm talking some big ladies here.
I'm going to need to get a drink of water after this, I think.
And they started to, for lack of a better word, they started to slowly undulate and waddle and move in a forward locomotion tandemly towards the trailer. Like a tsunami hitting the shoreline of Japan. Why are you laughing?
You might as well keep going. It's you on a roll.
And they get, and this guy, this guy sees them coming. Now, this guy is of average height and weight, which means that these ladies could put him in their purse. And his eyes are the size of hubcaps. And he realizes that this is more than just a couple of customers. And so he's beating feet to get in the trailer. And they go up to the trailer and they brace themselves to come to a semi-graceful stop, if there is such a thing in this scenario. And they lean against the trailer and the trailer kind of moves a little bit. Kind of like when a rhinoceros leans against a small sapling in the outback of South Africa.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm a good storyteller or not.
Yeah, I'm with you though.
So he's in the trailer bracing himself. And I am in shock and awe. I don't know whether I should laugh, if I should run, or if I should just cry for sympathy for this man.
I hope he didn't spill the hot grease.
And then all of a sudden, they walk away as graceful as an entire troop of ballerinas with a deep fried stick of butter.
Oh, that's so disgusting.
And here comes the poignant part. In each hand.
They had two apiece?
Two piece. They had two sticks of butter.
Oh, I'm sick.
And they were $4 each.
Oh.
$12 worth of deep fried butter.
Oh, 16.
Yeah, that's right. 16, four. I went over to the trailer. And nothing planned. And it just kind of came out of my mouth.
Oh, no.
And I said, I didn't realize that nuns loved butter. And he goes, nuns? And then I just walked away realizing what I had said was so bizarre but yet fitting.
Oh, gosh.
The end of the story.
Yes.
Several hours later,
oh,
I happened to be walking with a couple of cowgirls towards the cattle barn. And here are these two ladies sitting on a bench made for five, but yet the bench was relatively full with the two of them.
Mm.
And once again, they both had two sticks of butter. Now, four sticks of butter equal a pound.
A pound of lard.
Not lard, butter.
I know, but it's kind of the same thing, right?
Deep fried butter.
Oh.
And I happen to casually look at the women a little longer than maybe was polite, or I should have. And the cowgirls looked at me, and they said, "Are you a chubby chaser?" And once again, out of my mouth without thinking, I says, "What cowboy don't like fat calves?"
Oh, <shit.
laughs> True story.
So true everybody story. That's listening tonight, you can thank me later for asking BJ what the greatest race he's ever seen.
That was
at
it.
A fair. Oh, my goodness.
The big girl butter race.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I can see it now on
Hey, you
on
would
ESPN.
Never eat one of those things, would you?
No.
I would never. No. Oh, my gosh.
The only thing that I buy at the fair to eat are pork tenderloin sandwiches, if they have them.
Yeah.
And cotton candy.
Yeah.
That's it. Because the prices are outrageous. I'm not going to pay $85 for a corn dog. But see, I get into all fairs and things like that free. They never charge me. I get in free.
Because?
Of horses.
Oh.
They see my truck, and I go in the livestock gate, and they just wave me on through. Because if they stopped and charged me, somebody would say, "Are you serious?"
Hmm.
You know, what if he's here for a horse emergency, you know?
Right.
And I always park by the horse barn and the cattle barn. Okay, we got another email here.
Wow, that was quite a story.
Well, it's fitting of your show.
Kind of turned my stomach a little bit to hear that they had butter and that they had actually one in each hand.
Okay, now Breakfast Ed has sent a message saying, "Missing you, BJ. Think you would enjoy this view." Now, folks, this is what Breakfast Ed did. He sent me a picture of the rolling hills with some cloud cover in North Carolina, and it's a beautiful picture except for one thing. The trees, the beautiful scenery, the blue-gray cloudy storm clouds in the background are all spoiled by the fact that there's a golf green with a golf ball in the middle of the picture.
Hmm.
So he sent me a picture of a golf course.
In the mountains.
Yeah, wherever it is. We got another email here, came in 3 hours ago. It says, "Thank you so very much to the both of you for bringing the simple, non-religious truth of God's Word. Please do not stop doing what you are doing. Love you guys and Ranger." Listening from Wallaceburg, Ontario, Canada.
Well, that's got to be new, isn't it?
Phil and Linda. I've never heard of that before.
Thanks very much, Phil and Linda.
All right, we got another email. It says, "Hi, Mr. Jim and Mr. BJ. My family and I are listening to your show. Blessings, Josiah Edwards. Hello to Mr. Ed also." Who would Mr. Ed be? I don't know who Mr. Ed would be. Must be somebody listening to the show.
Okay.
That they know. Another email came in a minute ago. It says, "Hey, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. Enjoying the show tonight. Jim, my family and I really enjoyed the services in Enos,
yes. Mm-hmm.
North Carolina. We enjoyed the fellowship and the one-on-one discussion at lunch. Thanks for coming. Seeing grace is different areas of my life, some places that I have never seen it before. My kids enjoyed it too, Mark and Susan Campbell."
Yeah, real nice.
They gave you lunch? You got lunch?
Well, no. I mean, they were there for lunch, and we enjoyed lunch together.
Got another text. It says, "Hey, Jim, BJ, love your show. Keep up with the good work." So we're all caught up. No emails or comments about fried butter.
I bet we'll get some. Has anybody ever had fried butter? Please let us know, because I want to know I'm going to try to be good about this, but
and
what it was like.
If any of you are neighbors, friends, or relatives of the two ladies who bought the butter.
Too bad.
Oh, listen. Oh, there you go. See, and everybody thinks I'm the mean one. And you just chime in, too bad.
Hey, you know, I was going to share this. You know, your opening, you talked about
Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, you did. And you made the statement that we make on the radio show a lot, which is it's not about the answers.
No, it's never about the answers. It's about the question.
But I was going to give this testimony, and that is we were at, after the service, a little dinner or place to get a little snack or so with Pastor Phil and Beverly, who are good friends of mine, and Mulligan Tim and Breakfast Ed.
Oh, okay.
And in the course of the conversation, you know, they were kind of testifying a little bit because, you know, Pastor Phil and Beverly didn't know about the show. So we were all sharing things, you know, about it and all. Right. I thought it was very interesting that both of them said, hands down, one of the things that has helped the very most is they've learned how to ask the right questions or do the problem, that the answer is not the answer.
Mulligan, Tim, and Breakfast Ed.
Yep, both of them said that. That's helped them probably than anything.
Boy, that's a wonderful compliment to your show.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's great because they're getting that part of it, and maybe others should spend more time in that particular area too.
Honestly, and frankly, and I think it's hard for people to ask the right questions when it comes to their relationship with Christ, because no one ever wants them to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
they're not good at it.
They really just want you to come in the door, sit down and shut up and have a smile on your face and do what everybody else does and be satisfied with it.
Right.
Because that's the way it's done and we're doing it the right way. Because to question their motives, to question their productivity, mm-hmm. to question their results is to what? Question, why are you even there? What is it doing for you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, having a building full of like-minded people, that sounds nice. It is nice. And everybody has got their church shoes on and they're in a good mood and you got free coffee and donuts and you're singing songs and you're hugging each other and shaking hands and fellowshipping. That sounds great. I see nothing wrong with that. As long as it's not given to you as this is all there is.
Right.
And this is all you can expect.
That's right. Right.
Because people will leave thinking this is it. I've made it. This is all there is.
Yeah.
Except when they're told they have a bump in their body. A joint is swollen.
Right.
A pet is dying. Someone's been in a traffic accident. And why wouldn't they drop to their knees, close their eyes, clutch that book, and expect instant positive affirmation and results? And nothing happens.
Right.
And when they go back to that place, they say, I'm praying. I'm doing everything you say. And they say, you got to do more. You got to come more often. You got to do this. You got to do that. This is the way it is. We don't always understand. Oh, we're just waiting for the manifestation. It's happening. It's a done deal. What? 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 And then all of a sudden, there's a funeral. And there's really no snappy comebacks anymore.
See, that happens way too often. And I'll say this, from traveling for, 27 or 28 years, that I've traveled, I really don't know. I mean, I could count on one hand the places that I've gone that were actually, what could I say? They were used to asking questions. Out of all the places I've gone, no one is. I mean, that's just not something that people do. So if we're not getting them familiarized with doing it, when we're together, you know they're not going to do it when they're alone.
I know, and I don't understand that. Because if you belong to the Book of the Month Club, and you rotate meeting in people's houses for a potluck dinner, and somebody says, okay, yeah, I read the last two chapters, but somebody help me out here. I'm having a hard time following the plot. Or if you're a bunch of guys fishing and somebody says, hey, look, I'm not catching fish. What kind of bait are you using? What kind of lures are you using? Where are you fishing? Where's the hole? Where's all the fish? Or it's whatever the case is, there is always a demand and a desire for information. There's a demand and a desire for someone else in the group who has tangible evidence of success to share that.
Right.
In all walks of life, on every topic,
sure.
Whether you're a kid, a teenager, an adult, or a senior citizen, it's expected, demanded, and that's the way it works. Except when it comes to worshiping the guys. If it has to do with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the grace, all bets are off. Sit down, shut up, and enjoy the ride. That's what's expected, that's what's demanded, and that's all there is. Where is that in Scripture?
Right.
Who can point that out in a book, chapter, and verse? It's just the opposite. Go in your room. Close the door. Talk to me in private. I'll answer you in private. All your sins are forgiven. All prayers are answered. It's literally a 180-degree opposing, fact-filled testimony
right.
of action and result.
You know, we've shared this before, but remember the comment that I had made, which was, Jesus used, you just got smaller. Oh my gosh, you shrunk. Folks, our chairs sometimes don't stay where they're supposed to be. Okay, well, my point was, how we've, looking at you shrink that far. I mean, you're just a little bit above your, above your computer. It got me off, so I have to get my thought back.
I'm just going to stay here all night, Jim, at this height.
Yeah. That's pretty funny. I think you shrunk at least a foot.
Yeah.
So, okay. So our statements here, I'll see if I can't get this back, which, you know what, BJ, I've lost it, so I'll have to get it back another time. So let's go on here. And what I was going to share, and I'll use Scripture to do so, we had shared before, and I had just done this here with Nicodemus, and it, going back to the opening there with Jesus saying, you must be born again. And here's what I wanted to bring in verse 5. It says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. That's verse 6. Don't marvel that I said you must be born again. And then Jesus goes on to give an example with the wind blowing where it wishes and hearing the sound of it, but can't tell where it's coming from. So my point in that is to say, look at how Jesus, according to what is born again, how he separates the reality. And that's really what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about really the testimony is what separates the reality. And what I was going to say, and I just got it back, is we've said this before, that Jesus only used Scripture to two kinds of people. He used Scripture concerning the Pharisees or Sadducees, concerning the religious people, and he also used Scripture on the devil. But to the people, BJ, what he did was he talked in their own language, and he talked to farmers about seeds, and he talked to merchants about trading money. And the reason why he did it, think about it, not only did he speak their language, something that they understood,
right.
But by saying it, he raised questions in their own mind.
Yeah.
As far as how they were appropriating something that was as simple as what their occupation was.
I've always found it telling, very telling, as kind of a, I don't know, a backstory, a part B of the life of Jesus when he was walking around with his buddies.
Uh-huh.
There weren't very many people who made comments or statements that there wasn't something to this man from Nazareth, this son,
right,
the Jesus, that they didn't say, you didn't hear a lot of negative stuff like, no, there are no healings. The blind are still blind. The lepers are still lepers. The lame are still lame. It was just the opposite. People would hear these over in open markets,
right?
Auctions, farm fields. People who traveled from town to town, merchants, would spread the word that there was cause and effect. There was an action and there was a positive reaction.
Okay.
But yet people would hear that there was cause and effect, that there was someone named Jesus,
right,
or a man that was traveling, and there was wondrous things occurring. And they would choose not to seek him out. They would choose not to listen or participate in anything that had to do with Christianity.
Right.
Because it was against the law. They would be whipped. They would be thrown in debtor's prison. They would be kicked off the land that they were working. They would lose their home. No one would buy their goods. So they denied the guys. They denied grace. Not because it didn't work. Not because it wasn't real. But because in their reality,
right,
it was forbidden. It was illegal. Now, fast forward 2,000 years to August 25th, 2015, on a Tuesday night. It's not illegal anymore, but it's not common. Nowadays, it's even worse. Nobody has prayers answered.
Right.
There's not a lot of healings. There's not a lot of testimonies. It's all about worship. It's like going to the store and your pantry is full of food. You go to the stores and you get the world's greatest stove, world's greatest refrigerator, freezer, chest freezer. You go to the grocery store and you buy all the stuff there is to cook. And you're ordering takeout pizza. And you never fire up the stove. You never crack an egg. You never open up a recipe book. But yet you state that you have a world-class kitchen and a pantry full of food to die for and custom-made, monogrammed pots and pans and spoons and spatulas. Because that literally describes organized religion in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not your fault. But yet you have a fiduciary responsibility.
Sure.
Because if you read Scripture and you say you believe in Christ and you have faith and you have hope and you say that you are reborn, then what you're saying is, I've been reborn, I accept the fact that there's God, there is heaven, there is hell, and yet I'm making choices to not be productive.
Right.
That there is no reaction to my action because I'm choosing not to have any action at all.
Hmm. You know, I've got that scripture you were talking about a few moments ago. It said there were people at a feast, and they were saying the Jews sought Jesus at the feast and said, "Where is he?" And there was much complaining among the people concerning him. Some said, "He is good." Others says, "No, on the contrary, he deceives the people." However, no one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews.
Yeah.
See, and there's another passage that talks about even some of the Pharisees realized he is the Christ, but they were afraid of their companions, so they didn't say anything.
Well, they'd lose their power. They'd
right.
lose their position.
Position, yeah.
Yeah. We got some text messages here. It says, "Hey, this is Casey from Mississippi. I've heard..."
Yeah, we haven't heard from Casey in a while.
It says, "I've heard you all talk about leaving your body and meeting with Jesus. Should..." And then it says TH. His text message was too long. Have we talked about leaving our bodies and meeting with Jesus?
I don't really think so.
I don't either. That's kind of taken me off a little bit. Maybe he can send another text and finish. We got another text that says, "Hello, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. Loved the fried butter story. Thanks, fellas. Hey, Dennis and Muriel Mattson."
Oh, that's good.
"Minneapolis, Minnesota."
That's good.
Then we got one that says, "Hey, this is Casey from Mississippi. I heard you all talk about leaving your body and meeting with Jesus. Should now, instead of TH, it just says T." So he sent the same text message again.
Oh, Casey, send it.
He's got to send
and finish
shorter.
The rest of it. Yeah.
You got to shorten up your text messages along. Let's see if we got any emails here. Oh, we got some emails. Okay, we got one here. It says, "Hi, BJ, Jim, and Ranger. Glad to have most of the family listening live tonight. We all loved the story of the big race, you know, between the septic tank pumping trucks. We have never had deep fried butter, but it sounds kind of good." And then he put "not."
Who is this?
Well, I'm getting there. It says, "My wife almost lost part of her dinner picturing the whole thing."
Oh, gosh, me too.
It says, "Anyway, we are looking forward to the rest of the show and can hardly wait to hear what the guys give you for us tonight. Love and blessings, Will, Julie, Alex, and Gabriella in Liberty, Montana."
Oh, there we are.
United States of America.
Good. Thanks for calling in or writing in. That's great.
And then we got another one here that says, "Butter sticks? Blah, nasty. I wonder what the inventor of those was thinking." I do. Money. "By the way, this is Josiah Edwards, Joseph Edwards' son. I saw you this weekend." Yep. "I was saying hello to Breakfast Ed." Obviously, this is you. Yeah. For you in North Carolina.
Josiah had a football game. I think Josiah must be around maybe 13 or 14, I think.
Oh, well, good for him.
Yeah, he's a great kid.
And then we got an email that came in a minute ago. It says, "Hey, Jim and BJ, love your show. I finally get to listen live tonight after listening to the archives for quite some time. I'm having trouble getting Grace involved in my finances. I know God wants to bless me, but I don't know where I am in his way or how to receive his provision. Please help and give some examples. Thanks." And they didn't sign your name. Jim? No.
Well, first of all, God is a provider. I mean, you go back to Genesis and you see that. He's a provider. We know that one of the names that is covenant in the scriptures is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. So that is an absolute. God wants to provide for us. The first thing I'd say is look at your priorities and see where your priorities are. Because where your money is, you can tell where your priorities are. And it may just be that you're giving yourself to things or areas of priority that are actually strapping you in that are really not important, especially to your relationship with God. And the second thing I'll say is this. It goes with anything that you want to experience with God. You really can't care. You can't get so involved in something that you get in the way. The better you can just be at peace and begin to enjoy God on a regular basis and not be so eat up with the problems around you, the easier it is for grace to be involved.
Can I say something?
Sure can.
I never get to talk at all.
Okay.
Okay.
Just this once.
Most prayers aren't prayers at all. And I'm going to explain that, but I want you to think about this for a second. The majority of the time when people pray, it isn't a prayer. And that's why it's not answered. A successful prayer starts with someone who has a tangible hold in your hands, taste in your mouth, feel all your senses of your body relationship with Christ. And then there is a desire to watch grace do things. The closer you are to the guys, the more accurate and tangible your relationship is with Christ, You don't pray more. You pray less. Scripture talks about how don't worry about what you wear, what you eat, where you're going to sleep. If I take care of the birds and the bees, why wouldn't I take care of someone who's made like me? So when it comes to whether it's finances or a job or friends or a new house or a new vehicle or whatever the case may be, perhaps what you need to do is step out of yourself and step out of your life and take an honest, hard, objective, nonpartisan look at what is your motivation, what exactly are you asking for, what is the cause and effect. Because if you are quote-unquote praying, asking for the guys to provide for you, and if they were to provide that for you, and the outcome would be positive to the flesh, but negative to your soul and spirit, why would they do that? That would be destructive. That wouldn't be supporting a child. That would be hurting a child from the parent. But all of you out there that have kids, how many times in your life and duties as a parent have your children wanted something and they thought they had a legitimate, valid reason and it was important to them? And you put your foot down and you said no. And you wouldn't go into detail because you knew they wouldn't understand and it didn't matter. All you knew as the parent in the long run, in the trees for the forest, for you to deny their desire for something was actually in their best interest. And the reason you denied them is because you love them. You're their parent. They're your child. And you could see farther into things than they could see.
Mm-hmm.
So, Scripture refers to the guys being our father. We are their children. So does it not stand to reason? On some level, on some plane of reality that has nothing to do with the reality that you live on a day-to-day basis, that perhaps, just perhaps, things that are desired, things that are important, things that you think you need are actually not in the best interest of your eternal spirit. Did that make sense?
Yeah, you did. I'm looking over at a verse here just to give to folks. It says in verse 7 of Matthew 7, "Ask and it'll be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and to him who seeks find, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those that ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do for you, do also to them, for this is the law and of the prophets." Well, I just shared that to go along with what BJ was saying about our Father. He knows what we need before we ask him. He already is a God of provision. And like BJ was saying, so much of our prayer, and we can back that up over it, even in James chapter 4, where it says, "You ask, but you ask amiss, that you might spend it on your own pleasure." In other words, motives are necessary and important. And when things that you're asking about have a spiritual nature to it, how difficult would that be to see an answer?
The only example I can come up with is a pretty basic one. A man is praying for a promotion and a raise at work. He wants to have a bigger, better home for his family, maybe a vacation home. He wants some things for himself. He wants to provide. He wants to do more. But yet, in the life that he's leading now, his wife already is saying, you don't have any time for us. You never get to make it to any of the kids' sporting events.
Mm-hmm.
We never get to have a family dinner because you're always working late at the office. And it's almost like you're a roommate. You're not really a husband or a father. Well, if that's true and that's really occurring, why would the guys take a man farther away from his husband and fatherly responsibilities?
Right.
Why would they do that? They wouldn't.
Yeah. You know, I have a prayer. Remember I told you about this before. It was a livestock story of some friends. And he had raised some really quality beef. Not cows. It would be steers, wouldn't it, when you're selling beef?
Well, it can be cows. I mean,
okay, well,
I don't know.
Anyhow, he wanted to sell them all. And basically, at that time, get out of that particular business. You know, they've got a farm and everything, they work. Well, he was asking a pretty fair price and had asked the Lord, you know, for a pretty fair price for the animals. Well, his wife knew what he asked for, and her prayer was, God, show them how real you really are, and let it just be a testimony for him and for his relationship. And do way more than he's asking. And when it came time to sell these animals, the day of auction, if that's what it is, it was pouring rain. So usually you'd eliminate most of your people that would come for it.
Yep.
And yet the individual that was there, the one person that was there that had the kind of money, ended up almost doubling what he had wanted. And it was an amazing answer to the prayer. But look at what the prayer was. The prayer wasn't, it wasn't, we need the money.
Right.
The prayer was, I want something that'll touch his heart.
Yeah, that'll let him know that there is a God.
Yeah. I mean, all
has a good story.
On a spiritual nature.
We got an email that came in 2 minutes ago. It says, hello, Jim and BJ. I have a question. How grace factors with God's role in protecting us, and are we neglecting grace when we purchase a firearm for protection? I like this question.
You would.
Why not? It's a good question.
No, it is a good question. I'll just start out this way. I know there is all kinds of protection from the Lord. And this is one of the main reasons why, honestly, I feel like what we're sharing, and we don't have a corner of the market by any means, but what we're sharing, I believe, is very appropriate for the day that we're living, to help people put their attention on their own relationship with God, instead of just the thought of, well, I'm going to church, and I've got all these things I got to do for the church, and da-da-da, et cetera, et cetera. I really want to see people focus more on fellowshipping with God and experiencing God's grace. Because in the day we're living, I know that His protection is real, but most people aren't paying attention to it. Then, secondly, I'll say this, and I don't know, BJ, you can help me, because I don't want to contradict, but I don't see anything wrong at all with having firearms and having your own sense your own sense of awareness of what's going on in the world today by having something that you can protect yourself with. I don't know how to explain it any more than that.
I don't collect guns. I'm not a gun nut. To me, a firearm, a weapon, is exactly the same as a shovel, a pickaxe, a hammer, a screwdriver, an electric drill, a post hole digger. It's a tool. It's a chainsaw. It has a very specific, limited ways of using it under very specific and limited terms. So I don't see anything wrong with having that, because the other thing that people forget is that is that the guys gave us a brain and they gave us intelligence. And it isn't just about having things. It's about using your mind, because the most powerful thing you have is your own intelligence, your own self-awareness. And so if you feel the need to put something in your home, in your hand, in your vehicle for protection, that doesn't necessarily go against Scripture. It doesn't mean that you're turning your back on grace. It just means that you found a compelling reason to own a tool, a screwdriver. A hammer and a screwdriver are just as dangerous as a rifle or a shotgun or a pistol. It's who has them and what is their motivation when they use them. People were hurting each other with sticks and rocks long before there was even a round wheel.
Yeah, I mean, there's some comparisons I guess I could make, and maybe someone could make some others on the other side. But first of all, remember I made this comment. When Jesus called his disciples, one of them was a doctor. But you never see Dr. Luke ever using any medical procedures once he met Jesus. Because he had what? He had grace. He had the power of Christ.
Well, and what did David use to defeat Goliath?
But that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, you go back and you see the hand of God working with David, and he used a sling. You see David's mighty men with swords, and they took down one man took down over 800 men at one time. And his hand was stuck to the sword. So, you know, I brought both of those into comparison because it'd be very easy for someone to say, well, see, that's the reason why I go to the doctor, because I'm just using...
And look at Abraham, who was going to slice and dice his son with a sword.
Right, right.
So we have a text message that just came in. It said, wouldn't getting a firearm for protection be a type of plan B? No, we just answered that.
Right.
And so, but I thought that was a very, very good question. Uh-oh. What's up with this? What's going on?
I know it is.
Oh, man. I do, too. I know what this means. All right, ladies and gentlemen. If you've been listening to the show with any regularity at all, you know what's happening now. Area code 918-366-4626. 918-366-4626. Area code 918-366-4626. In other words, the phone lines are open to the barn. All right, now there's just two lines, and one will get a busy signal and a voicemail. So if you get voicemail or busy signal, you just have to hang up. So we will see if somebody wants to talk to Jim or myself.
What did we call this? We said something like call at your own risk.
Or... Yeah, call at your own risk. Buyer beware.
Buyer beware. That's
buyer beware. Yeah, call at your own risk.
Caller beware.
918-366-4626. That's 918-366-4626. Phone lines are open. You know what? I dare you to call. The phone's not ringing.
No, it's not.
maybe after the butter stick.
Oh,
there it is. Maybe after the butter stick story, we don't have any listeners. All right, here we go. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show with your host,
Jim Hockaday.
Who is this?
Roman.
Roman!
Hey, Roman.
Roman, where are you listening to the show at? Where are you?
Pasco, Washington.
Pasco, Washington?
Yeah, it's 2 hours from Spokane and 3.5 hours from Seattle.
Oh, okay.
3.5 hours from Kirkland.
So how are you tonight? Are you enjoying the show?
Awesome. Yeah, I like it.
Have you learned something about fried butter?
Yep, I did.
You learned to stay away from it, right?
Yeah. Well, just remember, watch out for those two ladies at the fried butter booth.
Okay.
I'm glad that you called in, and I'm glad that you enjoy the show.
I do.
All right, you have a good night.
Thank you, guys, too.
Bye.
Thanks.
Well, there's one. I wonder if we'll get another one. Area code 918-366-4626.
I wonder if the Weaver kids have a question yet.
You know who I'd like to hear from?
Who?
Libby Montana.
Yeah, there you go.
Or maybe Canada. Or there's a lot of people. 918-366-4626. That's area code 918-366-4626. 918-366-4626. We're having fun, so call us. Talk about your. Do you have a testimony?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Have you seen grace? Do you believe in grace? Do you like the show? Do you hate the show?
I'd love to hear from Fred.
From Germany?
Yeah.
We can't hear from Fred from Germany because right now in Germany, let's see, it's about 7 minutes after 9 in Oklahoma. So right now in the Black Forest of Germany, it is about...
Three or four.
It's about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, Wednesday morning. And see, he walks. He listens on a machine and goes for a walk in the forest when he listens to the show. 918-366-4626. No one's calling. Only Roman is listening. We have one listener.
Well, Roman, thanks for calling. You were our one caller.
I know.
Our true friend.
I thought we'd get more calls.
Yeah. I did too.
Well, you never know. You know, we're talking 918-366-4626. We're talking about testimonies and the evidence of them. Now think about that for a second. There's nothing wrong with questioning your own faith. There's nothing wrong with questioning your own religious beliefs or holding yourself accountable to saying, wait a minute, is what I believe true? Am I doing it the right way? Is there an easier way, a different way, a path that I could walk that would be shorter and more productive? There's nothing wrong with that, Jim, is there?
No, not at all. And as far as testimonies are concerned, you know, the scriptures really are full of thoughts as far as the Lord Jesus and Paul, all of them talking about testimonies. In fact, Jesus made a lot of comments about the word witness or the word testimony, or giving evidence to what he was all about and the work of his Father. In fact, Jesus made the comment, and I'm going to give you some of these, over in Mark chapter 16. He said, believers will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Believers will cast out demons. And it went on to say some other things concerning that. And then further, he went on to say that the disciples went everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders. So Jesus put a great emphasis, even in the commission, of telling us that we should have testimonies.
That was good. Caller, are you there? Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Who is this?
This is Will from Libby, Montana.
Yes! We got Montana!
Hey, Will.
Libby, Montana, United States of America. How is it? How's Montana, Will?
Oh, Montana is awesome.
Now, I got a question for you. What's the job market like in Libby, Montana? Maybe I should relocate.
You know, I'm not exactly sure what the job market is. I moved here and God just set me up with a wonderful job, and me and my son both.
What do you do?
But there's lots of jobs available, but I don't know how they pay.
What do you do for a living up there?
Well, I'm building homes for people, log homes.
Yeah? I'm thinking about maybe opening up a small little deep-fried butter restaurant kind of deal.
Maybe my wife could cook.
There you go. We'll get everybody involved, bro.
Yeah, we'll get everybody involved. So,
how cold is it up there, Will?
That was almost about 85 today, I guess.
Oh, yeah, they're beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Aren't you, is Libby on the east or west slopes of the Rockies?
Way up in the northwest corner of Montana, near Idaho.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think that's great that you called. I'm glad that you like the show and that your family's listening. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Will.
Yes.
All right. You take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
See, folks, that's how easy it is to call Jim,
yep,
Ranger, and myself. 918-366-4626. If you get the answering machine, the voicemail, the horse whinny, or you get a busy signal, don't give up. Just keep pressing redial, and sooner or later, you'll make it through. 918-366-4626. We're going to keep the phone lines open for a while, and you'll just have to keep trying to get through. Also, we got emails and text messages. The way you email the show and text the show is on the radio show's website on the contacts page. And so, 918-366-4626.
Hey, I've got a great scripture here.
Okay.
People probably wouldn't think of that talks about testimony. Okay, this is actually about Jesus, and John the Baptist is actually giving testimony to Jesus. He says in verse 30 of John 3, "He, Jesus, must increase, and I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true." So notice what he says here. John states a case for the fact that what Jesus does while he's on the earth is Jesus is in communion or fellowship. His relationship with the Father is so real that he sees what the Father is doing, he hears what the Father is saying, and then he brings evidence or testimony to what the Father is doing through him on the earth. And John went ahead and said, if you receive this testimony, you'll then certify that God is true or God is real. Actually, this verse or these couple of verses really are a summary of what our show is tonight, folks. The relationship that you have with God can be and should be so real that you're able to actually see the evidence of it.
We got a call coming in.
All right.
Caller, welcome to the Abiding Presence. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Who am I speaking with?
This is Mark, North Carolina.
Mark in North Carolina.
Hey, Mark. Well, yeah, they sent in the email about seeing the penis. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
Hey, Mark, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Now, did you get free food when Jim was there?
Actually, Jim and my family all got free food. Yeah.
What was the menu?
It was pizza.
Really?
Well,
yes.
They had a buffet, and they had some other things beside pizza.
Oh, yeah, they had lasagna and spaghetti, and, yeah, they had it all.
See, I'm really getting screwed here.
Why?
Well, because
I can't bring back pizza.
You don't even attempt to try. You're telling me that there's not room in your suitcase for a container of lasagna?
There wasn't. Really wasn't.
A Tupperware of... Of spaghetti?
There wasn't, because I had all the Rice Krispie squares that someone gave me, so I didn't have any room for the... No, I'm just kidding. Oh, I didn't at all.
All about them. There was chicken and dumplings, too.
Oh, yeah, chicken and dumplings. I had chicken and dumplings.
Really?
They were really good.
They're good dumplings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was calling y'all for testimony, and Jim, I gave you a little bit of that testimony about my shoulder.
Yeah.
I was going to share it on there. I thought it might help somebody. So,
is that from racing? From racing?
No, I didn't do much racing. But it was actually, I really don't know what it was from, but I was having a lot of pain. I mean, it would go numb in my whole arm, and then it'd be a lot of pain there on my left side. And I finally just decided, I just said, you know, I don't have to put up with this. I'm not putting up with this. You dealt with this, Jesus, so it's done.
Right.
And I totally forgot about it. And then Jim's given the, you know, telling, does anybody have numbness in their hands? And then when he said that, I thought, hey, that's what I was having. When did it stop?
Right. You didn't you didn't need me, Mark. You'd already gotten it. Grace was already working.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't care. I just quit caring.
That's great. Now let me ask you something. You're in North Carolina, right?
Yes.
Do they have septic tank pumper racing down there?
I haven't seen septic tank pumping racing, but I've seen some pretty crazy racing down here, yeah.
What's the crazy racing you've seen?
Well, they used to get, speedway up north of our home, and they do like different grades in a Saturday night of different racing. And some of it is people that's racing old beat up cars that never has raced before.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, so that's always fun. You wonder if they're ever going to get to the finish line.
Well,
that's NASCAR territory out there.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. They're a bunch of rednecks out there.
Yes, they are.
Listen to you.
Well, that's good. I mean, country folks.
Yeah. Wow. That's profiling, and profiling is wrong,
Jim. That's not how I'm meaning it.
Yeah, I just... You know, just because it's your show, you really shouldn't take liberties like that.
Hey, Mark, did that offend you?
No.
That's because...
You know, we know, you know, the thing about rednecks compared to other people, we usually know it and we're proud of it, so...
There you go.
Yeah. What about the fried butter story? Did that affect you negatively?
No, but I've actually heard of that.
You have?
Fried butter. I have, and I'm trying to remember, was it a fair or something where I heard it?
Yeah.
And I thought it would be, you know, because you've heard, I don't know if you've heard of the deep-fried candy bars, but I also heard somebody's selling deep-fried butter, and I thought that would be the nastiest thing.
Yeah.
It's nasty.
Well, when you said you heard about it, I thought maybe you didn't hear about the butter. You just heard the thundering hooves of the two ladies that were going for the trailer.
No, but I tell you what, the story was told so well that I could... vividly imagine almost in color.
I could too. It came in color to me too, Mark. Same thing.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, we're talking big girls here, diesel girls.
Wow.
Yeah, these weren't gas. These were diesel girls.
Max and Peterbilt, huh?
Yeah, these were some very nice, large ladies. Yeah. Two-fisted butter stick eaters.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, and they probably gained from that.
I don't know. I saw, you know, when I used to go to Wyoming working horses once a year, and there was a ranch in Wyoming that had buffalo. Now buffalo are a lot bigger than cattle. And these women were dressed smartly and nicely. They carried themselves well for their size. And if they were next to a buffalo, that buffalo would look like one of those little Chihuahua dogs.
Yeah.
or like what my neighbor has, a Chiweenie. Do you know what a Chiweenie is?
That's got to be a Chihuahua and a Dachshund.
Yeah, that's a cross between a weenie dog and a Chihuahua. They're called a Chiweenie. It almost sounds like some little person who sneezes. A Chiweenie! Excuse me.
It sounds like a Spanish hot dog.
Well, you have a good night.
Thanks for calling,
you
Mark.
Too.
Okay.
Good night.
See, folks, you need to call us. 918-366-4626. That's area code 918-366-4626.
All the wonderful things you get to learn when you call us.
Yeah. A Chiweenie?
Yeah.
Did you like that?
Oh, gosh.
Chiweenie! You know, we have a listener with a Chiweenie that's going to be sending me hate mail now. I know it. Oh, we got an email. It says... Hi, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. Missed listening live for the past few weeks. Don't expect a fried butter reference. Ew! Apparently someone somewhere has invented fried Coca-Cola. Keep sharing Jesus and State Fair stories. Angela K., now in Bonaire, Georgia. Bonaire? B-O-N-A-I-R-E. Bonaire. I bet it's Bonaire. Bonaire, Georgia. Come on, folks, call us. It's not tough to call us. 918-366-4626.
BJ, while we're waiting for them to call.
Please.
One of the things that stood out to me when we were talking before the show is, you know, an individual accepts the world that they're in, and why wouldn't they, as the reality that they know and what they are to expect for their future based on what they've known in their past. Real simple, okay?
Right.
Now, the preaching of the word, because, you know, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And it talks about starting in Jerusalem, Judea, which was the surrounding area. It'd be like saying, you know, Tulsa, Bixby, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, United States, and the rest of the world. That's kind of what he said, okay?
Okay.
And then there's another passage where it says, you know, the gospel will be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come. Well, taking that and combining it with the reason why we're preaching the gospel is so that people can see that there is another reality. And that's why testifying is so important, because it is really even more than just the words. It's the package, the message that needs to be preached. It's not just saying words. It's the package of producing what the words mean.
Yeah, I like that. That's real good.
I mean, I enjoyed that. We made some of those comparisons before the show, and I want to make sure the listeners know that when we're talking about testimony, it's really everything to the message of Christ.
Each person's testimonies are going to fall into their own category and have their own slant of things.
Okay.
I wish people really understood how personal a relationship with the guys is. I mean, you talk to kids in a large family. You talk to brothers and sisters, and they have some common denominators like, well, that's what happens when dad is mad. That's what happens. That's the way mom talks to us when we don't feel good. But yet, they also talk about the individuality of the relationships. That dad spends time with this one kid doing this and then another kid. And so there's an individual, special, personal relationship between a parent and a child.
Right.
Where is that in a modern religious organization? It's taken away. It's voided out.
Right.
It's about the congregation and the group. But it's important that someone realizes, like a husband and wife, or like, look at Libby Montana.
Yeah.
You've got kids. You've got a wife. And so you're talking about an entire family who they can worship together, they can listen to the show together, they can even pray together, but yet there's a caveat that each one of them needs to seek out and cultivate their own personal relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not always going to be in the same room at the same time.
Right.
And they need to have their own skills, their own relationship with the guys. What makes it so wonderful is there'll be holidays and family get-togethers, and there'll be times when that family in Libby, Montana will be sharing testimonies of what they have experienced and witnessed outside the home, outside the family unit. But yet, they are still a family because it's connected through their common denominator belief that they're all children of God.
Sure. Yeah, I like that. And folks, I got some great scriptures here. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, that's that chapter that talks all about faith or the convictions of people. Actually, before Christ came. And look at what it says. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And verse 2, for by it, or in other words, by a person's faith, the elders obtained good testimony. And the rest of the book is all about those testimonies, how that by faith Abel offered to God more excellent sacrifice than Cain. That was a testimony. And then the testimony of Noah and building the ark and saving the whole generation that we have even now because of his testimony. And it goes on and on and on with all the people in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, is talking about people's outward experiences with God by the power of God, and that is spoken of as their testimony. So I just want you as listeners to double up or triple up and just begin to really see your week as an opportunity to produce testimonies. What great evidence it becomes in the lives of the people that you know and the people that you don't know that you as a quote-unquote Christian actually have evidence to prove that God is real, that Jesus is alive. That's what this world needs. They don't need just more preachers preaching. They need people experiencing God.
Well, it's without experiencing grace and enjoying grace, it's tough to have prayers answered. Because you really don't have a connection to ask.
You know, Jesus made the comment. He said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Well, think about that. When you're in heaven, are we going to be contacting God? Are we going to be seeing him? Are we going to be talking with him? Are we going to be experiencing him? And the answer is an obvious yes. Well, Jesus' prayer was that God's will would be done on earth even as it is in heaven. So how much more does Jesus want us to experience the Father now? And then Jesus came as the prototype to show us what it's like, and all he did was show us the evidence of his Father.
918-366-4626. That's area code 918-366-4626.
And if you want to call and give us a quick testimony like Mark did, we'd love to hear that.
Or just say hello.
Yeah.
Ask us a question.
Sure.
Hear yourself on the radio. You can do that too. Say hi to another listener, family member.
Right.
918-366-4626. We've had what? Four calls?
Three.
No.
Yeah, we had Will. We had Roman.
Right.
We had Will. And we had Mark. Did we have another one?
Yeah. Well, who was in North Carolina, Mark?
Mark.
I could have swore we had four calls. I guess we had three.
I think three. The last time we did this, we had 14 or 15. So, are you all out there?
That was on our two-year anniversary.
Yeah, but still.
I don't know. We're no one wants to talk to you.
And you know what?
Notice
I know
I
this
said.
Is off. This is...
Notice
is,
I said.
I know, I heard you. I was ignoring you. That I know this is off the subject of the scriptures, but if anybody has ever tasted a fried butter, I really want to know what your thoughts are.
Oh, my gosh.
I want to know. I don't want to taste it, but I want to know what you say it tastes like. You know, in order to do that, it's got to be a cold butter stick that they just quickly dip and fry so that the outside batter on it is fried, but inside it's got to be just somewhat soft.
Yeah.
Because it can't be runny. So. I mean, if they make it runny.
No, it'd fall apart and you'd come off the stick.
Yeah. So it has to be just dipped
but
quickly.
I mean, hey, I like butter as much as the next person, real butter. But I mean, I don't know.
I mean, you know what? This is really sad.
Why is it sad?
Well, just because we want people to remember all these wonderful things about God's grace. But to be honest with you, everyone listening to tonight's show will never forget.
The fried butter story?
Yes. Yes. It will be etched in their memory forever.
I want to know if you're going to tell that story on the road.
You know,
you can't tell that story on the road.
Well, yeah.
It wouldn't come out the same.
No.
It just wouldn't. Folks, it's 9:30 here in the barn in Oklahoma. Give us some goodnight calls. Say hello. Area code 918-366-4626. 918-366-4626. I wonder if we have any messages. Nope, no messages. I was just seeing if we did.
Well,
what?
You know, I've watched this happen again. I'm just kind of talking about our subject tonight, but I remember going overseas to the Philippines with a whole 20. I was the leader of about 20 of us, and Aaron went with me. And I know some of the comments that I've heard, not only from that trip, but also from other trips as well. People that have really not experienced God at all.
Right.
But they've gone over places, and they acted on Jesus telling us to lay hands on the sick. And okay. They would do that, and the person would be healed instantly. Like eyes opened up, or ears opened up, or their legs would be healed. And the comment would come back going, I could hardly believe it. So this is from the person that prayed. So look at what the evidence did to them. The evidence, even to the person that was praying, the student, the evidence of the healing, in a sense, somewhat rocked their world, or you could say their reality. It showed them how real God really is. And then the sad part is he that real to that individual?
A person is told that their boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, or wife is cheating on them. And it comes out of the blue. Someone says, look, I just want you to know you're being disrespected. You're being cheated. They're seeing someone else behind your back.
Mm-hmm.
There's a denial of it. Don't want to face it. Don't want to think about it. Just don't believe it. It could happen to me.
Right.
There's a call from the school, and the school authority says that your child has been doing something, and you say, that just doesn't even sound like my kid. I'm shocked. I don't believe it.
Right.
One of the defensive mechanisms that the human mind has, our psyche, is to protect our own sanity, to protect our ego, to protect our own self-worth through a brick-by-brick, cement-by-cement wall of denial and protection that would possibly rock our world in such a fundamental way that we just couldn't get over it. The loss of a loved one, the loss of a pet, a bridge that's been burnt and is impossible to rebuild, a regret. There are all kinds of valid, tangible reasons of a way of denying something that is painful and that we might lose our appetite, lose sleep over, something that would just literally shake us to our core. And so we'll instantly have protection. I don't believe you. Until I see proof, I just don't believe you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not. And the people can see that you're sincere and serious in your eyes, but yet there's that tiny little voice in the pit of your stomach that knows it's probably accurate information and true.
Mm. Mm.
I don't think it's a surprise for someone to have trouble getting a prayer answered. I don't find it shocking that someone doesn't see grace or experience grace on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Because if our own mind, our own psyche, our own intelligence has a defensive mechanism to protect us and to deny things that are of the flesh and of the world, the yeah. most evidentiary, tangible, responsible essence of living we have. Why would our mind not accept a wall of denial from grace that we've never seen or dealt with? I think it's entirely possible that no matter how much somebody wants to believe in God, no matter how much they want a relationship with grace,
right,
no matter how hard they're trying to have a prayer answered, deep down inside, there is a mechanism, there's a switch that has been thrown that says, there is no God. I have no proof, so I'm not going to set myself up for failure and disappointment.
Right.
And what people don't realize is that small little inner denial of self-doubt, that small hidden secret that nobody knows about but you, that says, well, maybe there's a God, maybe not. Who knows? I can't really prove that he's there, but it sounds good. That in itself is enough to keep you from experiencing the grace that you were born with.
Right, right.
918-366-4626. Someone call and tell us how they're thinking about the show tonight. We got emails. We got one here. It says, need help asking the right question. Hi, guys. I have a question. Maybe you have some insight on. My son's knee popped out of joint and then popped back in, but it is now swollen and too sore to walk on. We have laid hands on it, spoke healing over it, commanded it to be healed, and everything else we have ever heard of been taught, but still no manifestation. We have no plan B as we trust that God is our healer and that healing has already been given through the stripes of Christ Jesus. Do you have some input or answers? Thanks, Will. Jim, you want to answer that?
Yeah, I mean, here's what I would do, Will. I would, first of all, it's 9:37 here. I don't know what time it is there, but I would assume that it's probably bedtime anyhow for your son. I would just tell him, son, we've prayed. You're good. Why don't you just enjoy a great night's sleep? And let him go to bed and jump out of bed in the morning and just run downstairs. I wouldn't give all kinds of place to it. And I wouldn't fuss about it and try to do so much more, which just says what? It just says you don't believe enough was done at the beginning. So that's what I would do concerning this.
My answer is you saw the knee pop out and then you saw it pop back in. You guys should have went for a walk and talked about how good grace is. The fact that you give energy and give power to an injury or sickness and illness is why it occurs. And only you and you with the knee issue can really take care of this. It's about what's more important to you. What are you focusing on? What is more powerful? Is the pain in your knee more powerful, or is the feeling of being loved by Christ more powerful?
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever is the most powerful thing in your life, that will be controlling the pain or healing the knee. All right, we got another email here that says, yes, I race septic trucks, and I race to late-night preachers' houses to deliver them their nightly message. Ah, ha, 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 ha. You really cracked my wife up with that tonight. Listening live from Trenton, Ontario, Canada, Jamie. So, see, he does. He admitted that he races septic pumping trucks. Yeah. And it goes on to say, have you ever considered sponsoring a race car because, you know.
A race septic truck?
I don't know. He's looking for sponsors now.
Hmm.
You know, he's probably got a jumpsuit and rubber gloves and a mask and a breathing apparatus. And he's probably wants to adorn, be like, you know, he's probably got a fireproof suit and a helmet.
I wonder if the trucks are full when they race or they're empty.
I bet what happens is they're full when they start and they drain them as they go down.
Oh, that is really bad. Oh, that's disgusting.
It's more festive that way.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I can see that happening. I can, I think it's nice that his wife supports his hobby of, you know, racing septic tank trucks.
Well, for someone out there that's listening, and trust that we still have some listeners, write us real quick before the show is over. Let us know if you find that the topic tonight about the importance of really allowing the testimonies to prove the reality of Christ and your relationship with him, if this is helping you to see how responsible we need to be for this. In other words, there's a real mandate, you could say, on the life of the believer to move forward in a relationship and have testimony.
We got another email that came in 10 minutes ago. It says, subject title is Yuck. It says, Yuck. Hey, Jim, BJ and Ranger, I don't think I will be cooking with butter for a while. Those vivid images will haunt my mind for weeks.
Is that Sue?
No. I wonder if fried ice cream would be good. And then it says, blessings. This is from Beverly in Oklahoma.
Well, you know,
Have you had fried ice cream?
Yes, you can get it at Mexican restaurants.
Is it good?
Really good.
Now, is it deep fried?
Well, yeah. Usually, it's how I've had it. It's coated with coconut, and it's deep fried, and the coconut then becomes all crispy.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Never had it.
Really good. He put some chocolate sauce on it. It's great.
We got an email came in 3 minutes ago. It says, "Just saying hello. I seem to have been infected with mold poisoning. Been kind of struggling. I feel bad that I still have these symptoms, and I am fighting in faith not to worry, as this is more than a cold, and I have no insurance. Meanwhile, I've been working with Grace to get out of a financial situation. I wonder if there's a part of me that just doesn't want Grace. Can you offer a word of encouragement?"
Well, I don't know if there's a part of you that doesn't want Grace. You would have to actually answer that, and I wouldn't think so. When there is a problem or something looks like a problem, usually people want out. But my point is to say this, to raise the question, what's the possibility the whole thing isn't really what you think it is? In other words, is it possible you've accepted very strongly and very vividly into your heart the idea that you have a mold problem and this is why there is a cold? Maybe you could accept just that much more that you have a grace solution, and therefore you have a wonderful healing. In other words, take the energy that you're giving this problem, trying to get rid of it, and why not give all that energy to the fact that you have a solution and have grace, and there's nothing to be concerned about? Why wouldn't you find that your body would just literally be fine?
The person that sent this also sent another email that said, "Thanks for the radio show."
Oh, good.
Okay, we got another email here. It says, "Could you share your personal testimonies of healing? Example, how you received. Thanks." This is from Sarah. Jim?
The biggest part of my testimony of healing and the times where I've seen things work very, very quickly has been, and I actually had someone talk to me about their testimony, and this is the exact same thing they said. But the testimony has been when you move on. I was diagnosed with all kinds of stuff. This is over 10 years ago before I knew some of the things that I know now. So I actually just kind of stumbled on what I'm actually experiencing now. I stumbled on it 10 years ago. I had done all kinds of things to get rid of, you know, losing. I lost 30, 40 pounds, and there was a real serious problem that I had in my intestines. Later finding out what it was, the symptoms were of my intestines actually rupturing. And I fought against this. I did all the things that I knew to do back then, speaking the word, getting more word, more scriptures, having people lay hands on me, confessing all the right things, praying prayers to God to be healed, all that kind of stuff. And it wasn't until I got tired of all of it. It wasn't until I had enough of all of that, which I realized wasn't working, that I finally said to the Lord, I said, listen, I'm done with this. I'm not doing this kind of stuff anymore. I'm just going to simply take you for what you said. You said I'm healed, so really, do we need to talk anymore about this? I don't think so. I'm done with it now. Thank you very much, and good night. And the first thing that I did was, because I was trying to eat all this healthy stuff, you know, is I went over and made a chocolate milkshake just to rub it in the whole idea that I was depending upon anything else. And the second thing I did was I went on with my life. And in that condition, that weak condition, it meant I had to actually look past what my body looked like and move on with my life. And I did. And within just days, health and strength came back to me. And that was my testimony. And the thing that I learned was about moving on. Not dwelling, not trying to be, but it's done and I'm moving forward.
Are you ready to say something to music?
Yeah.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, here we go.
Well, we thank you for listening in tonight. For those of you that will listen at another time on the archives, we're thrilled to have you be a part of the show as well. Tonight, we certainly trust that you got a hold of what we were talking about, that there is a wonderful reality in God. Most people will never understand it, will never experience it. But for those of you that know it's there, realize that God's grace, the precious work of the Holy Spirit, is there for you to show evidence and give testimony, not just in the words that you speak of how much you love God, but in the actual experience that you have that shows that God loves you. So open up your heart and open up your mind tonight, wider than you ever have before, with arms stretched out. Just go ahead and embrace that wonderful grace this week and experience all kinds of wonderful things, from small little tiny things to other things that may seem to be more important or significant. And we just pray for you to have a wonderful and great week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, that was good. We got some more emails towards the end of the show.
Okay.
That I want to read. And I'm trying to get on the right page here for some things. We got an email that came in 2 minutes ago. It says, hello, testimonies are missing in buildings. Thank you for the subject, no deep fried butter for us. Grandpa and Grandma, outlaw bikers, Morgan Hill, California, United States of America.
Thanks for listening in.
Boy, the way that man cranks up that Harley and just heads down the road, you know, I can see him, you know, on that three-wheeled Harley Davidson, goggles on.
Man, I saw a whole troop of those guys at the hotel I was staying at in Sparta, North Carolina, up there in the mountains. That's where the Blue Ridge Parkway is.
And what's the Blue Ridge Parkway? Is that a highway?
It's a highway that winds itself from all the tops of the mountains there down the Blue Ridge Mountains, and it's just super, super scenic. And the bikers just go like crazy. But there were probably 15 bikers, husbands and wives, and all on their three-wheel bikes that were staying at the hotel that night that I was there.
Okay. One of these days, I'm going to stop ranching. And I want to get a really big RV that you pull with a pickup truck.
Right.
And I'm going to get a sack full of cash. And I'm going to travel the country. And I want to visit all the states except for Hawaii because there's no bridge to Hawaii yet.
Right.
You know, and I want to go somewhere for a festival or a county fair. And I just want to drive around the country in a motorhome that, you know, has a place for a four-wheeler or something.
Sure.
And maybe or a couple of horses or something. And just be a bum traveling the interstates and roads, going from state to state. Be in New England when they harvest maple syrup. Be in Washington for apples, Georgia for peaches. Iowa for alfalfa hay. You know, just...
Yep.
Gilroy, California for the garlic festival. You know, just be all over the country. Just be a vagabond.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know exactly how much money it would take if I was to do it today. For 12 months. For the diesel, for the food, for souvenirs. Possibly a little bail money.
you figured it out.
I keep a running total about every month. Yeah, every month I make adjustments to the economy and the price of things. For a truck, a motorhome, and the gas and the cash to be on the road for a year. Yeah, I've got it figured down to the penny. You know, not lavish, but comfortable.
Sure.
You know, so you don't. So that if you want to buy something, you can. And
right.
You know.
That's interesting.
Yeah. We got an email that came in 4 minutes ago, and it says, please don't mention my name. It says, I listen to the live show and archives often. I appreciate the discussion earlier tonight regarding grace and financial provision, and your comment, BJ, about considering the importance of the spirit over satisfying the flesh. I have had some setbacks in my past, and I've been on my own for several years now. I want to live in a place that I can call home and stay long term. As a child of God, can I seek His direction and help? And if so, how? More than finding my home, I want to experience this with God as my Heavenly Father. I want Him to be real to me in every area of my life. Please continue to teach us. Appreciate your show so much. Please give Ranger a big hug.
Oh, that was nice.
Jim, do you have any comments about this?
Well, I mean, you know, the whole idea of God becoming more and more real. My comment to you is that put your faith in your relationship with God. In other words, if there's a place for you to believe and a place for you to actually put your affection and attention, it's on how well you do know Him and how much you are spiritually connected to Him and how that connection is going to grow, and you actually believe in it and you trust in it and you're willing to act on it. And that becomes, for so many, a wonderful way to begin to increase your experiences with Him. Because He's there. And if you're not experiencing Him and He's there, it just means you're experiencing something else. So as you do your equation, as you ask questions, you're going to come up with some really great answers, and you're going to find God.
All right. Well, what did you think of the show tonight?
Well,
did you like it?
Well, I liked it, but then sometimes maybe I like something that maybe somebody else won't. I'm just trusting everybody got... besides the great story we had about the butter race, I hope everybody really got a hold of how important to God the testimonies are, which
yeah.
means if it's important to Him that there are testimonies and evidence, how much more can you trust God's grace to actually help you to have the evidence?
Yeah.
Because without His grace, without the Holy Spirit, you will have no evidence. So you can trust in it. You know, that's where it goes back to statements like that guy, A.W. Tozier, that made the comment, real faith is where you put yourself in a position where you can't go back on purpose. Well, that's when you trust God, that's the kind of things that produces evidence.
Well, folks, the phone lines were open. I want to thank all the people that called us. And hopefully next time, in the weeks and months to come, we'll open up the phone lines again, and hopefully we'll get a lot more telephone calls. And it was good to hear from you.
Yes.
We want you to take care of yourselves and your pets. And, oh, Ranger's waking up. She's starting to bark already. Hi, Range. Hi, how are you? Ranger? Dog spelled backwards.
What is it?
What? She's growling. Come here. What do you say, Ranger? Come on, Boo. Come on, girl. It's okay. Here we are. Oh. Ranger, dog spelled backwards.
She's
yawning.
Come on, Ranger.
Get one of those deep ones out. Bark, bark. There you go. That's a good girl. Bark, bark. All right. And remember, dog spelled backwards. Ranger, dog spelled. Good night, everybody.
Good night.